I believe, help my unbelief, is a very, very powerful statement that we hear in today's gospel passage on this, the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, when a man is bringing his probably epileptic young son to Jesus for healing, but he had gone to his disciples first, and his disciples were not able to heal. So almost with a sarcastic tone, the father comes to Jesus and says, if you are willing, can you heal him? And then the response from Jesus was, if you are willing, all things are possible to those who believe. And then the man's response, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I don't know about you, but I go to that passage many, many times, because there isn't one of us here, and there's not a human being that has perfect faith. And with that in mind, we believe to one degree or another, but because we are human beings and because we have this propensity to focus first on ourselves rather than God, we might believe, and it might be a firm belief, but it's not a complete belief. And so that prayer is so appropriate on this, the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, as we approach the final days of this Lenten journey. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. It is also appropriate as we remind ourselves of the dual purpose of the Lenten journey, and the Sundays in particular, as they focus on two different themes, this gospel passage, which was for people preparing initially in antiquity for baptism. So it was a reminder that they're not going to have perfect faith. And it is a reminder to you and me, subsequent to those great numbers of adult baptisms of the early centuries of Christianity, a reminder to us that we might not, or we will not have perfect belief, but that should not stop us from doing our very best in our belief, in our Christian walk, from doing our very best day in and day out. So with that gospel passage, one theme of doing our very best and having the best faith that we can muster up. And I don't know about you, but my faith ebbs and flows. Some days I feel closer to God than others. And other times, sometimes when things don't go the way I want them to, my faith is not so good. And yet, even in those days, we are encouraged. I believe, help my unbelief. On a scale that unbelief might be up here, but still we have a little bit of faith, do we not? The second theme is revealed in the revelation, or in the commemoration of Saint John of the Ladder. Spiro, would you bring me that icon that's right there, please? By the way, Spiro, I like your suit today. Did every one of you have an opportunity to see this icon when you came in? That's one of the scary icons of our tradition, right? And it is because Father John, Climacos, or of the Ladder, is renowned in his latter years, after living 60 years or so as a monastic. When he was 75 years, he was called to be the abbot of the monastery of St. Catherine on Mount Sinai. After which, it is named after our St. Catherine of Alexandria. And prior to him becoming the abbot of the monastery, he wrote a book at the request of a fellow monastic, another abbot of a monastery nearby, another Father John. And he asked him to write a book or put into a book form his thoughts on living a spiritual life. And he wrote The Ladder of Divine Ascent. And that book from the 6th century, 7th century forward has been a mainstay in the monastic communities of Orthodox Christianity worldwide, to the point where a good portion of monastics worldwide will read The Ladder of Divine Ascent for the 40 days of Great Lent. It is their annual book of reading during this period of time. And I want to call your attention to your bulletins. For those of you who have them, open up the inside, and there are 30 steps of this ladder. I'm going to not read through them all, but ask that you take a few moments, if not now, later, and read through the 30 steps on this ladder of divine ascent. And know that they represent each of the 30 years of Jesus' life before beginning his public ministry. And with that in mind, I would like to today focus on two. On remembrance of death, number 6, and on the many forms of vainglory. Before I get to them, though, I want to share this icon. Unfortunately, it's a smaller icon. And as we see many monastics climbing up this ladder, because the book was written primarily for monastics, there are angels and saints on one side of the ladder encouraging them as they go up, and on the other side, there are demons trying to lasso them and bring them down. And it's kind of interesting because you have one of the saints who's like on rung 26, or one of the monks rather, and he's being lassoed by the neck and being brought down. Let's see what's number 26. On discernment of thoughts, passions, and virtues, on expert discernment. It reminds me of that old song, Slip Sliding Away. The nearer we get to our destination, the more we slip sliding away. That's why we can never, in the mindset of Orthodoxy or Roman Catholicism, ancient Christianity, we can never go with this concept of once saved, always saved. It's a constant struggle. Any of us that has lived or tried to do our very best in anything in life, whether it's in studies, whether it's in work, whether it's in raising children, the list goes on. We know it's a struggle, right? It doesn't get easier, does it? If that is the case in the physical realm, consider how much more so it is in the case of the spiritual realm. So there is always, day in and day out, year in and year out, let me do that better, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, a struggle to be godly, good, loving, and caring people. The quotation today by St. John Climacus, John of the Ladder, on death, listen to what it says. Like bread is the most essential food of all, remembrance of death is the most essential thing compared to any other spiritual deed. I'm going to reread this, give you a context. When he wrote this in the 7th century, they didn't eat meat. And even the lay people ate meat very infrequently. Fish was their mainstay and vegetables. For monastics, fish was what they had on feast days. They were meatless in their diet. But bread had sustenance in it, including herbs and spices as well as vegetables, and to sustain them. As bread is the most essential food of all, remembrance of death is the most essential thing compared to any other spiritual deed. This sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? It sounds very strange. Remembrance of death? It's number 6 on the ladder, on the rung. In order to understand that, think of how we and to what length we go in our day and age to try to avoid death. Am I wrong? We avoid it at all costs. Interestingly, that's not the Orthodox Christian perspective. The Orthodox Christian perspective is to become friends with death, and then we can live. Now, there's two sides to the coin of this. We can't become friends with death until we stop fearing it. It is considered to be the greatest thing to fear in our life. It's understandable. No one wants to die. It's not natural for us to die because we are created to live eternally. And with that in mind, in order to overcome the fear of death, we must have faith in God. In order to overcome the fear of death, we must believe in the God who is the God of the living and not the God of the dead. We must believe that Jesus Christ is God who became a man, died for us and resurrected, and ascended into the heavens. And therefore, there is something greater than this life that is to look forward to. There's another side of that coin, and that is this. If we understand that death is at our doorstep, we would focus on the things that are most important in life rather than most often the things that take the most amount of our time and effort and energy, which are not so important. And I kind of raise my hand to that because I do the same thing. Oftentimes I focus on the small things before getting to the big things, when I should be focusing first on the big things before going to the small things. Most people have the best of intentions, but in this craziness of the world in which we live, it's so easy to have things out of proportion. Am I wrong? So one side of the coin is to become friends with death. We're all going to die. To understand that, but understand that God is with us and loves us and never will leave us, and there is something beyond this life, a life with Him eternally. And on the other hand, if death is at our doorstep, live today what is most important in life. And what is most important in life, my dear people, is number one, relationship with God, and number two, interpersonal relationships, relating one with another, relating with the people who love us, and relating at minimum in prayer to the people who hate us. And I say at minimum in prayer because that's where we can overcome our other elements. I'm going to go to the second one that I like to focus on. On the many forms of vain glory. On the many forms of vain glory. And I'm going to get out my telephone, and I'm going to read some quotations, a quotation from here. St. John says, like the sun which shines on all alike, vain glory beams on every occupation. What I mean is this, I fast and then I turn vainglorious. I stop fasting so that I will draw no attention to myself and I become vainglorious over my prudence. I dress well or I dress badly and am vainglorious in either case. I talk or I remain silent, and each time I am defeated. No matter how I shed this prickly thing, a spike remains to stand up against me." As I was reading that today, quite honestly, on the whole way to church today, I was saying the Jesus prayer. Lord, have mercy upon, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. As I was looking at the reality of my own life in this Lenten journey, I was realizing how much I have fallen short. And quite frankly, I confess that to you because I preach in front of you week in and week out, and I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to do things that sometimes I don't do. So I ask for your forgiveness. So vainglorious means I can become vain by doing what I just did. It gets us from the front, and it gets us in the back door as well. And so we have to always be on guard, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out. Ultimately, as there are 30 steps to this rung of the ladder, and as Deacon John pointed out so beautifully to his sermonette to the children, it's not just our effort, but it is God at the top of this ladder that is bringing each of the people up. He is helping, he's reaching out and helping by his grace. He's reaching out and bringing us up. So it's by God's grace that we are saved and our day in and day out opportunity to submit ourselves to his grace. So with that in mind, as we commemorate St. John of the Ladder today, as we remember the man in the gospel passage, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief," let us continue in this Lenten journey. If we haven't really started, let's start today. If we have started and fallen, let us get back up with the prayer, "Lord, have mercy upon me," and place ourselves in the loving, compassionate hands of our loving Lord. Through the prayers of St. John of the Ladder, through the prayers of St. Tikhon, the enlightener of North America and Patriarch of Moscow, who we commemorate today, and we have a St. Tikhon's OCA parish in Parker on their feast day that they commemorate today. The Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, and St. Catherine, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.